Thank you. Thank you, guys. Well, good morning to you guys. I certainly do miss you guys over the span of life.
We miss you.
Everything from under the weather to losing my mother-in-law, who you guys prayed for. And it's just been a very tough season. Oftentimes, faith is only proven when it's tested. And so as I walk through the season of life with my wife grieving and the kids and just things that you can't control, and that you feel powerless in regards to you seeing your loved ones suffer. But God is faithful through it all.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll tell you the story about how the ending was so great with my mother-in-law, who came back to Christ on her dying bed.
Wow.
Beautiful story.
Wow.
And I try to share my wife that perspective that, hey, mom is in paradise now.
Yes.
Right. But it's hard when you lose a mother. Right. And to Johnny, the Holy Ghost is all over you. I asked Adam, I said, man, what happened to that brother, man? I need a high five or something. Get some of that. And well, great. Look, I have a message today I believe is going to encourage you. This is what I'm teaching to the men and the leaders at the church, a message entitled, encouragement entitled, Finish Strong. You guys have been getting some great teaching. I've been hearing about Haddon and Eric and, you know, these guys sharing great words, and whoever taught in the last season has been, I've been hearing great fire coming out this room. It's good to see you guys pressing in. But let me start here in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read verse 1, 2, 3, and we're going to jump in the time that we have together. Did I tell y'all good morning already?
Good morning.
Okay, I ain't gonna say it again. Amen. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinder and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says in verse 3, consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you today for this word. Thank you for these men. Holy Spirit, speak clearly and expressively to us all. Cause our lives, our minds to be changed and encouraged. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. So today, in the time we have together, I want to talk about running your race. And as I was studying Hebrews and kind of looking at my life and looking at the perspective of my life, and even thinking about you gentlemen coming here today, everybody has... It's at different places in their lives, different mindsets, different achievements, different understandings, even different beliefs. But I was really impressed by the Lord to say before the year is over, encourage believers as you encourage to have a reset, if you will, of perspective, of understanding, and considering the race of life that they're running. You know, guys, life is not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yes.
And you know, we have in Hebrews one of the greatest books in my opinion, written as an argument or a defense to Jesus being better than everything else.
Yes.
In that time, we had great prophets and great teachers that these wise men would reference. But the writer of Hebrews points toward Jesus' sacrifice as being the greatest sacrifice. And in this writing, he encouraged the believer to compare what has happened to what's going on now. You know, these men were in Hebrews in chapter 11, the great hall of fame, faith, where we hear all of the great men who accomplished great things. And the Bible picks up in that, talking about this is a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us run a race. The writer uses this analogy because in those times in Israel, they had Olympic games, or they had great Colosseums where athletes would compete, and you would watch them run. You know, and I look at the text and I said, well, as a believer, who is watching us run the race of life? And what does it speak to? And are we running on the right track? And why, and are we doing the things that God wants us to do? And the Bible says that in Hebrews that we ought to run the race that is set before us, which means we don't get to pick the race that we run in. No. We're running on the track that God has already prepared for us to run. And as you understand, if we try to run anywhere else, we bring onto us sin, entanglement, hindrance that causes the race to not be completed. So he picks up by saying to the believer and asking the question, run your race that is set before you. And I begin to look at my life and I begin to look at times in my life where I tried to run on the wrong track while believing God to do things for me when I wasn't even running the course he designed for my own life. And so, you know, that period of time of disobedience, that period of time where we get really religious or really righteous or really get we have a holy hair that says my thoughts and my life and my decisions, regardless to what you say, I'm going to do what feels right to me. And as I look up to the Bible, I said, man, there are three things that caught my attention as Jesus was talking. You guys know the lost sheep, the lost son, and the lost corn. Yeah. All of these gentlemen, or at least the analogy was these men or these believers, even not the corn, but the son and the sheep. We are sheep. Kind of went through. They went the wrong way at some point. And so I was considering the sheep and the shepherd. And all of us in here are, I would say, sheep. There shouldn't be any goat in here, but if we are, we're going to deal with that before we leave. Okay? And all of us are sheep. What does a sheep do? A sheep knows God's voice.
Yes.
And what's interesting about the sheep in this journey of life, a sheep will nibble or kind of wander into false pastors or other pastors than the shepherd prepared. And that sheep oftentimes is too dumb to come back. So the shepherd has to go and get the sheep where the sheep is at and bring the sheep back to the fold. Okay, as Jesus says, and all of us here in our lives have nibbled away or wandered away to some extent where God had to come get us. You never find other than outside that story where Jesus talks about the shepherd going to get the sheep. After Jesus died, we find the believer coming back or finding his way back. Lost son. The son wanted a way. He decided that what's happening in my life at daddy house, I don't want that no more. Give me my money. Give me my money. Yeah. Give me my success. Give me what I have. And I'm going to want a way. I'm going to go away. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm just going to want a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm just going to choose to do what I want to do. I'm just going to live the life I want to live. I'm going to run the race that I think is fitting for me. And then the only way that that son can come back, if he comes back to his senses, and then come back to his father.
Yeah.
You never see the father go and look for the lost son.
That's right.
As far as leaving his position, but he looked afar off. It's going to make sense in a minute. Yeah. That short bus coming soon. Just stay still. All right? It's coming, Eddie. It's coming. All right. It's going to make sense. You never seen him leaving what he had to go get his son. But the Bible said he looked for him afar off. And when he came to his senses, life happens. Our perspective has to be reset. Our mindset has to be regirded. And we got to realize the way I've been traveling is not the right way. Now, in this room today, there may not be any nibbling sheep or some sons who want it off, but there could be some lost corns in the house. Okay, stay tuned for a minute. The lost corn was lost in the house. Was the corn really lost? The corn was in the house.
That's right.
Which means you can be in church, in Bible studies, and you can be in a place and still lost.
Come on.
What happens is we are this type of understanding that we can be in church and still go to hell. It's rough to hear, but watch the corn. If a corn is in the house and it's lost, you can't find that corn. And when you're lost in religion, you get dirt and rust. You get, you know, you don't ever lose your value, because if you're walking down the street and you find a quarter on the ground, and it has rust and dirt on it. If you take it to the store and get you some bubble gum, it's still worth a what? Still worth a quarter, right? That thing been beat up because of life. It's been in the drain. It's been hello out of circulation.
Yeah, that's good, Pastor.
That's a lot of people in church that are lost in that out of circulation, but you're still valuable.
Yeah.
So God never takes away from you the gifts and callings and talents he puts inside of you, because he knew one day you're going to come to your senses.
Yes.
And one day you're going to be in circulation again.
Yes.
But rather in this journey of running the race, God as sheep, he will always come look for you and I as sheep.
Oh, that's so good.
A man have 100 sheep and loses one and say, oh, I'm done with that one. No, he go looks for him. You see, no matter how far we run away or stray away as sheep, God is coming for us.
Amen.
And he sends the Holy Spirit to come get us. Now, for a season of time, sin is pleasurable. Rebellion is pleasurable. You feel like, and we justify it based upon us running the wrong race. Now, here's Hebrews. And I want to walk through a couple of things in this, because it's important that God understands in this writing that people are watching our lives.
That's right. Yeah.
People are watching your lives.
Yes.
And when a man makes a decision to give his life to God, shortly after, the wife, the children, the business, the people around him are affected by that decision to get on the right track.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
All right. And so it's important to say, I need to look at my life and find out where I am. What track am I running? So we understand that Jesus is the one who sets the race. Okay. The race defines our purpose for ourselves. The Bible talks about how an athlete, somebody say athlete, gets ready to run the race. OK, and, you know, at our church, we have a lot of the UL track students come to the church. And so they know a lot about running. I don't run, as you can tell. I'm going to fight everybody up in here who laugh. Everybody up in here. God dogged. Amen. All right. I'm going to start running. I look like I'm running today. Amen. All right. And, you know, they know before you run, you have to stretch. You got to prepare yourself. You got to get yourself warmed up. You got to get yourself ready for the race. And oftentimes in life, we try to do life without preparing ourselves, not having a spiritual discipline in our lives, without not having a circle of influence in our life, accountability in our life, not having people that's going to check us, it's going to hold us accountable. So it's easy to drift off when nobody's pulling your chain or pulling your card. And it's important to know that if you're going to be successful in Christ, you need accountability.
Yes.
Somebody that's going to tell you something about your life. Somebody that's going to hold you accountable when you go off track. That's the Holy Spirit. It's hard when you get a little Bible scriptures because you think you know everything and you want to throw scriptures back versus humble your heart. That's why we all need a pastor, spiritual covering. Thank God for the Pastor Randy's and the Pastor Jacobs and all the pastors involved, because they help us to run the right race. You decided to want a way because life, pride, offense, and oftentimes as religious leaders, we don't do well with the sheep. So instead of love the sheep, we throw them away. We push them away. Just because you had one season of a mistake doesn't mean the church should throw you away.
Amen.
I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I got to get you back on track, because sometimes you can have a moment and your life is exposed. And somebody knows something about your life, and you know, it trickles up the train, They know everybody talking about what you've been through, what you're going through. But you know, that's not the way. The Western culture have taught that way, but it's not the way. I'm gonna help you.
Yeah.
The way is that when a brother falls, we who are spiritual should restore him, not push him away. Right. All right. So sometimes the church can run the wrong race. And we are so concerned about our reputation in front of the witnesses, what the witness is going to say if they find out that Joe Blow fell away. Let me exile him away so we can protect our brand. But Jesus says, I don't care about my brand. I'm going to go get you. If I got to walk through lions and forests and walk through defense, I'm going to get the sheep that wandered away. So God understands his position. Now, this is good because I see it, because I realize I warm myself up, I prepare myself up to do life the wrong way until God said, I'm setting the course for you to travel. And when I set that course for you to travel, I'm going to give you the strength to run that race. Amen. All right. So the Bible tells us that as we are running the race, understand what we're running for. So life is not about us just going to church as a purpose in why he created us. Our focus should always be fixed on Jesus. When he says he is the author and the finisher of our faith, he's the perfecter. When we get our eyes off Jesus, we start drifting down the wrong path. And he says the purpose of you running the race is to achieve the end goal. And that's to have more of God at the end than you had in the beginning. Running the race of Christ, you get better as you keep going. And when you stop, you lose momentum or you lose focus. If you endure the hardship as a good soldier, God says he's promised to give you strength that when you get weary, you will get weak, but you will not faint. How you know you're running the right race, Pastor? Because even when I go through stuff, I may be weary, but I'm not fainting. Because on the journey, he is out increasing my endurance to handle things of life, because he caused my eyes to be fixed on Jesus. Makes sense. So the race that's in front of us is set by God. The race is fueled by our eyes staying on Christ, understanding where I am in life. I'm a sheep being sought out by the shepherd, or I'm a person who just won away regardless of what you say. This is why you can come and hear some great messages today and there'd be no change tomorrow. Because something in your mind is stuck in that mindset to say, regardless of who preach or what happens, if an angel come preach, I'm going to just do what I want to do. But then that's a wake up in perspective and say, what are we doing here? Am I coming just to get fat? Or am I going to apply what God is putting in me? So all of Lafayette, who is watching my life, can say he's a faithful runner. He has prepared himself for the journey. All right. Now, understand that Jesus picks the track, and that he tells us in Hebrews 12 that we are to lay aside everything that hinders us, everything that threatens that relationships. He tells us that we must understand that there is in this world, there is so many things that come to distract us away from the race that we should be running. Okay. And yes. And that's something that come to distract us. So any hunters in here, any hunters? Okay. Okay. Any legal hunters in here? Everybody. Joe raised his hand. Joe think carrying a nine is hunting. That's not mismatching. All right, any hunters? All right, anybody hunt? So yeah, you're right, Joe. Just not on Simcoe, Joe. Just not on Simcoe. All right. So, you know, whenever you're hunting, and I'm not a hunter, nobody invited me in here, but when you grab that rifle, you set the sights and you fix your eyes on the target in front of you. And then you got to stay focused and locked in. Following Christ is like us staying focused and locked in on one thing, Jesus. Yes. Everything else is uncivilized. And, you know, when we fix our eyes on Christ, we don't see the distractions of the world. That's good. But what's coming, Pastor? The devil ain't coming to bother you because you have enough inside of you in your flesh when you have a lack of spiritual discipline to create your own distractions.
Absolutely.
Okay? Listen to what I'm telling you. Because there's a lack of this endurance or preparing properly, we think going to church is the answer. It's part of the answer, but it's not the full answer. The answer is that we ought to fix our eyes on Jesus while preparing ourselves as a runner, athlete, preparing to run the marathon, not the sprint. And because there's a lack of self-awareness, we now allow our issues to overtake us. So the writer says, lay aside every weight that hinders you and besets you, which means you know the things that are holding you back. And so it doesn't pay for us to rebuke the devil when you're the problem. That's right. You look at yourself and you say, gentlemen, today I'm declaring I am the problem. I'm not going to blame my wife. I'm not going to blame my job. I'm the problem. You know, most people are dealing with the consequences of their decisions, not the devil. Okay, so watch this now.
Blaming the devil.
Jesus sets the race before the beginning of time. He controls the rules. He gives you the Holy Spirit. So when you're weak, you can receive strength from the Holy Spirit, strength from community, strength from these Bible studies, strength from your brothers. And when you forsake accountability, you're saying, God, I don't need your wind. I don't need your water. I don't need your endurance. I'm going to do this on my own. So we now carry hindrance and weights that slow us down. We would all agree in this room that we should be a whole lot further than where we are right now. If you're honest today, we would be a whole lot further than where we are today. But there's these issues of our flesh that we ignore or we don't pay attention to because we are comfortable with it. How do I know that I'm maturing? This is for me. This is not for you. This is for me. This is for me. Mind your business. This is for me. How do I know I'm maturing? Because I always pray that I can hate sin more than anything else. Hate it in my life. Because I know that I'm loved by God despite of the issues around me. But I got to hate sin enough to say I don't want to do it. You know, temptations. You heard of the temptations, right? Okay. You know, fighting temptations. James tells us that we are tempted by our own desires. And so much so we look away without looking within ourselves. And we try to run the race and we get discouraged because we are not doing the proper things in our lives. Spiritual discipline. Accountability, making sure that we do the proper things for us to be successful around running the race. All right. The race is marked out before us. He sets the track. He controls the temperature. There are people watching us. Hebrews chapter 11. People who've been there, done that. So we can always refer back and anywhere in the race to get some advice. Okay? I'm running. I come across a roadblock. I haven't seen it before, but somebody have. So instead of me trying to tackle this hurdle by myself, I'll pause for a minute, take a water break, check in with my peers, my cloud of witnesses, and see how David overcame this issue. See how Abraham overcame this issue. Or check with the local brother and say, how in the world did you overcome this issue in your life? So you can gain strength from community. That makes sense. Now, in business, we would do that. We would call an investor. We would call a broker. We would call someone. Call the money man. He must know because he got money.
Yeah.
We call the diet person. We call everybody for natural things, but won't pause for spiritual things.
Oh, that's good.
Because we figure, I got Jesus now.
Yeah.
I got my prayer closet now. And I don't have to tell people what I'm going through. So now I'm carrying the weight when I should be laying it aside. Okay? Now watch. This is right here. Lost corn, lost sheep, lost son. Okay? Now, a few things you need to run this race. I want you to see this. And I want you to see this here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, it says this. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So the fight that we have, or the fight that we're in, it's not the fight against flesh and blood. It's a fight to keep the faith. What am I fighting for? I'm fighting to keep the faith. I'm fighting to continue to believe despite of what happens to me, what happens around me. I'm fighting to maintain my belief system in Jesus despite of the Hades or hell I go through. Paul said that, and he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
Shipwreck, stoned, beaten, starving, rejected. He says, I've fought the good fight of faith. With all the things I've been through in this race of life, nothing broke me. He said, say, all the things that I've endured in life because I kept my eyes on Jesus. I want to point you to that because, and I know you know that, and I know you hear that, and I know you think, okay, I got it, Pastor. But until that becomes real in your life, until it becomes relevant and is practical and is alive in your life, then all we're doing is inviting a whole bunch of understanding that haven't became fruitful in the evidence of my life. I need this thing to be evident in me that whatever happens in this race, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to fix my eyes on him and not see the distractions. Okay? Easier said than done. Here are these three things I want to give you. Number one, it's very important that we have a daily regimen of prayer. Every single day. If I'm going to stay focused, I need to be praying. God only talks to people who talk to him.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, it's like getting water. It's like getting water, you know. Nobody gets thirsty, Adam, and watches a cup of water. No, you're going to get in there, you're going to take your drink of that thing. Prayer is refreshing you. Prayer is giving you that nourishment you need for the journey. Number two, not only do you pray, but you got to become a worshiper. What hurts me about men, bad word, but what I can encourage about men is that we will pray, but we will not worship. Our masculinity gets in the way of that. We too busy being a macho. Worship is important because what worship does, it seduces the heart to receive the implanted word that God wants to deposit in your heart. It keeps you less fleshly and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number three, we have to read God's word and examine it to our lives. I tell young preachers, don't ever read the scriptures to preach. Live it, read it to live. Read it for yourself, not to convince. The Bible says on Tuesdays that you got a deep revelation. God will never speak to you when your intention is to prove to men you know something you don't know.
That's right.
Oh, that was good right there. Yeah. I left my wallet in the car to give myself an offering.
Yeah.
That was good, I'm telling you.
It's true.
Always, when you look at the word, examine yourself in it. How does this apply to me? And the last of this is, whenever you run in the race, you maintain the proper attitudes through trials. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says this. For God called you to do good even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you and I must follow his steps. For God called you and I to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow his footsteps. I'm closing with this. Hebrews, go back to it again. I'm going to read it again now that we unpack some of it. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. God considered him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. Reset. The year is ending. 2025 is coming. I got to ask myself, what race am I running? Am I running the right race? If you're running the religious race, you're in the wrong race. If you're running the self-righteous race, you're in the wrong race. Run the race that Jesus has set for you. I want to make it clear that we live in a time today where so many people are falling away, so many people are deceived, so many people are losing hope and losing heart. It's only one reason why a person can lose hope is they take their eyes off of Jesus. Amen. He promised to keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Yes. The world needs us as men to stand up and run our race. Yes. They're watching our lives. We have great examples in the Bible. We have to pray that God will give us the right perspective about the journey that we're traveling. The enemy will allow you to prosper in religion while never really building God's kingdom here on earth. But that may be a little too much. That's a big pill that you swallowed sideways. Okay. He will allow you to prosper in religion, but not prosper in building God's kingdom. How do you know, Pastor? I close with this. Jesus said the harlot, the tax collector, the drunken, the liar, the thief has a better chance of inheriting the kingdom of God than some of you Pharisees. Boy, that's cold-blooded, huh? And we see that harlot, you nasty big butt thing. You, what are you? Come on, come on. Look at that drunk, good for nothing son of a gun. Look at that thief. Look at that liar. We beat him down with our tongue. And Jesus said they have a better chance of making it in heaven than some of you religious people. So are we a lost coin in the house? Out of circulation? Well, God says, knock the dust off. Get in kingdom position, not where man wants you. Get in kingdom position. Run the race that God has set before you. And you will finish strong. Because he is the one that's responsible after that decision to give you strength when you're weary. Because all strength, all faith, all perseverance, all endurance come from the one who bared it all. And Jesus was the one who would endure it all so we can have it all. Amen. All right, come on, stand on your feet. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah, let's pray here. Let's pray here. Ooh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the reminder, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the reset. Lord, we understand that you have set the race for us. We pray by the Holy Spirit that you would allow us to get in alignment with you. Lord, that as our eyes can be distracted by many things of this world, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Lord, we pray that we have eyes to see you, ears to hear you, heart to love you. God, increase in us as we decrease today. Let us know deeply inside of our hearts that our desire is to be good sons in the earth. We cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. We pray for your power. We pray, God, that you would refresh us and refill us. And God, thank you that when man threw me away, you came looking for me. Thank you, God, that when I didn't see you, you seen me from afar off. Thank you, God, for allowing me to come to my senses when I was doing the wrong thing. And God, don't ever let me be lost in the house out of circulation. Today I pray that you would encourage us to have the strength and the faith to trust you in hard times. Help us all, Lord, to finish strong. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Love you, brother.